We're going to play lots of music, which is no big shocker there. But music's going to kind of be like the metaphor that like kind of unites everything this morning. And for those of you who aren't music people, let me just put out a quick argument for why there's such an environment of music in this place. And that is that music is the language of the heart. You know, the Psalms are mostly that, songs, you know, of worship to the Lord, truths about Him, expressing things that are in the heart. And we live in a culture that more than ever is saturated by music, and more than ever, we can all express ourselves through music. Going to talk more about that later, but your ringtones are an expression of who you are, or who you want others to think you are, or whatever. And you can write and record your own songs, and like other people can really hear them, like for the first time, like ever in the history of the world. Like Jeremy can go home today and write a song, record it, put it on the internet, and anyone in the whole world can go and listen to it if he knows what he's doing. and he's like, no. Anyway, so that's why we wanted to kind of use music as a metaphor this morning. And I'm going to start. I got my little DJ stand up here this morning. Going to start with this. I want you guys to listen to just some clips of about four songs. And here's the question. What does this stuff have in common? All right. Anybody know what those four songs have in common? Yeah, that's all Beck. How many of you know Beck? Wow. Here's what you probably didn't know. That's the sound of change. Like a change that's really a done deal. Like the way that we listen to, interact with music will never be the same. And Beck is a pretty good like picture of what's happening in all that. All four of those songs were off of his last album that wasn't really an album, called Güero. Oh, I even said it with a little bit of rrr. But it first became available online in 2004 as some kind of, I don't know, like releases that weren't supposed to be released. You could find about four songs in 2004. Off of this record. It was officially released in 2005 with 13 songs. A few months later, you could get the deluxe DVD / CD edition that had seven more songs and also some interactive album art with it. It was released as Güerolito with remixes of several of the songs by other artists later on in 2005. Here's the deal. It wasn't an album at all. It was a project to be seen and heard and messed with by other artists, by consumers, by listeners. And now Beck is dreaming about doing an album that listeners can edit and remix themselves, and a CD cover designed so that no two would be alike. And here's the deal. He's not reacting against, he's not angry, he's not trying to like change the music industry, he's not out crusading, he's just doing his thing. He wants to get his music to as many people as possible, and he wants to use all the tools, all the technology that he has to do that. He just wants to get the music to the people. Yep. Now, this week and next week is really for newcomers to Bridgeway. And what I want to do is kind of give you a flying overview, like major parts of the car, steering wheel, gas pedal, stuff like that, for how Bridgeway works and why we do what we do. And so that's what we're going to do this week and next week. This week, I want to kind of give you big vision, the part that we've all got to be really, really clear about. And then next week, we'll get into a little more detail of how we work it out. So let me pray. We'll start talking about some of that stuff. Lord Jesus Christ, we love you so much. And we just declare in this place today that you are the only one who changes things. That because you came and you died and you rose again, you've called us together, those who have sworn allegiance to you, and you've called us family, you've called us sons and daughters. You've promised to change the world through us. And so we come today humbly, submitting our hearts to you, saying we love you, saying we want you to get all the credit, saying we want anyone who ever comes into contact with anything having to do with our community to say, surely Jesus is with them. To say, being around those people makes me want to be with Jesus more. Makes me sense what he's all about. Makes me want to be a part of what he's doing. So Holy Spirit, would you come now and just fill me with your presence and power to where the things that I say would be the things that you would want to say. And we're asking you to change us. We pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to say some simple things. I'm going to need about four readers. So four people that love the Bible. I need you to come up and like real quick right now. Just come up and I just need four people right here in just a minute. I'm going to have you read some stuff. And bring a Bible. You guys know I'll start picking on people. So just need about four readers. Great. A couple more. All right. While they're making their way. Okay. Now, Anna Marie told me, we had a conversation a couple of weeks ago, and she said, you know, sometimes it's so important to say what we're not when we're talking about what we are. And so I want to be really clear about a few things. Our mission as Bridgeway Church, it hasn't changed in 2,000 years. It's no different than any other Church of Jesus Christ that says, we believe in Jesus. We believe he died and that he rose again. And our mission is the mission of the church. And what we're not trying to do is be innovative. We're not trying to be unique. We're not trying to attract people to come to our meetings. We're not trying to have better music or better preaching. We're not trying to target market to young people or old people or anybody in between. And we're not trying to do church differently. We're not trying to do church differently. Here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to take Jesus to the people. That's what church does. We're trying to take Jesus to the people and to the places that need Jesus. Okay, readers. Dr. Paul, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jessica, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Jenna, Acts 1, 8. And the big one, Revelation 7, verse 9. Through the end of that chapter. Okay? Now, here is the mission of Bridgeway Church as Jesus articulated it to his followers. And so, Dr. Paul, why don't you read that? Oh, gosh, you're going to need a way to... Here you go.
Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Okay. Let's stop just for a second. Commentary after each one of you guys read. So Jesus says, I have come, I've been with you, I've died and taken your sins on the cross, I've risen again in victory from the grave. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me now and forever. And here's what I want you guys to go and do. I want you to go tell people about me and my kingdom and invite them to become like me as you also are becoming like me. And go do that all over the world. Go and make disciples. Tell people about me. Connect them to me. Take me and the reality of my kingdom into all the dark places and all the dark lives and say there's freedom available in Jesus and in his kingdom. Reproduce that all over the world. And baptize people so that there'll be some public expression that I'm in. All right? Okay, now, what was his message that he's gone and asked us to proclaim? Luke 4. 18 and 19.
Okay, this is a good one.
Yeah.
The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen.
Amen. Now, Lord Jesus, would you put that simple but profound message so deep in our hearts that we can't help but proclaim the freedom that is in you to anyone that we come across. The store clerks and the waitresses and the teachers and the classmates, and that we would proclaim that in you, Lord Jesus, there is freedom. Your message is our message. And we say no to death and sin and sickness, and we say yes to life and freedom in you. We say yes to healing. We say yes to reconciliation. The things that you're about, that's what we're about, Jesus, because it's all about you. And in your name we ask these things. Amen. Now, where are we supposed to do this stuff? Acts 1:8.
But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.
Yeah. So we're going to have all the power we need. Raise your hand if you've got the power of the Holy Spirit. Yep. And we've got all the power we need to take this message of freedom throughout this city, throughout our neighborhoods, throughout our schools, even to the ends of the earth, to all nations. Like little old us get to be a part of that huge plan. Do you believe that? Raise your hand if you really believe that we have been caught up into like the biggest rescue mission in the history of the world. And we're like guaranteed success. Do you believe that? Okay, now here's the picture at the end of the story that is like just fuel for our missionary zeal, right? Okay, Revelation 7.
After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language.
Okay, wait, read that part one more time. And you guys just close your eyes and just picture this. Revelation is fuel for our hearts, because the Lord knew we would get discouraged. He knew it would be hard. He knew that like it would feel like we weren't making any progress and this thing wasn't really going to happen. So he gave us these pictures just to pour jet fuel on our hearts. All right? So one more time, starting at the first of verse 9.
After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation, they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes."
Our mission is to get Jesus to the people. You guys can sit down. Thank you so much. Give them a hand. It's really hard to get up and do anything in front of this many people. This is what Brian was talking about this morning, you guys. The picture in Revelation, it is not of people who were spiritual enough, people who ratcheted it up and really got the job done, people who climbed the ladder enough to really be real-life missionaries that like sold it all and went to other countries. Like, the picture is ordinary people who feel disqualified, who feel discouraged, but who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and who've been clothed in white. And who say, "He is holy, he is righteous, he's the one worthy of honor. And he has called us holy and righteous and with him." And that's the picture of where this whole thing is going. Our mission is all about Jesus and about getting him to the people, right? Like, why he's chosen us and all of our brothers and sisters called church to do that is just crazy the more you think about it. Because we know what kind of people we are. We know how much we struggle. And yet, unequivocally, no plan B, Jesus Christ is building his church, a group of people becoming more and more and more like him and calling other people to come and become like him, do life like he does it, and to spread that like the most wonderful virus all over the nations of the earth. So that's our deal. Now, what does any of that have to do with Beck? And let me just stop there and say, like, there you have it. I just gave the vision of Bridgeway Church. You know, no catchy slogans, no charts. I love catchy slogans and charts. But the Bible does just fine by itself. That's our vision, is to get Jesus to the people and in the process become more and more like him by the power of the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, what does this have to do with Beck? Okay, little history of the recording industry. And I'm no expert on this. Like, I'm a big music fan, but there are like 50 people in this room who know a lot more about any of this stuff than I do. But you might find this interesting. The goal of the music industry was to get the music to the people. Yeah? And it's a pretty young thing, really. It was born in technology, primarily a couple of technologies. Radio, right? And records. Vinyl, to be exact. But the goal was, we're going to get the music to the people for a fee, and we're going to benefit the artists. Who there'd be no other way to get the music to the people than if we helped them do that. So that's how it started, driven by technology. And radio was a pretty cool thing. It was a mom-and-pop industry, really, until about, 15, 20 years ago. And here was kind of the deal. Radio will get free content. Music labels will get free promotion. That was kind of the agreement. If that went over your head, that's okay. Some of you guys got it. But radio will get free content, okay? So we can play music. And the labels got free promotion, and it worked out great for everybody. And pop music was truly pop. Country was really country. Gospel was really gospel. Not a whole lot of genres. Like, you know, a lot of people who really did like a lot of the same stuff, just happy to have anything, you know. Big stars are the big stars, and everybody kind of agrees on them. Lots of agreement about favorite artists, and everyone was real happy with that situation. Anybody remember radio like that? You guys. Now, here's the reality. In the 50s and 60s, and here I'm everything I say I stole from somebody, but there's a really good article about this in the New Yorker magazine. If you're interested in any of this stuff, come see me afterwards. I'll give you some sources. But in the 50s and 60s, the music industry replaced the book business as the engine of pop culture. Charlie's nodding like, yes, true. Now, here's where we're at today. There are four major music groups. I was just told last night there are really only three now because two of them merged. Is that true? Maybe. Time Warner, EMI, Sony, and Universal? Anybody? Mergers? Acquisitions? Now, those four control 70% of worldwide music sales. They control 80% in this country. There are now a handful of conglomerates that own all the radio stations, and Clear Channel alone has 1,200 of them. This has become a really high-control industry. Radio no longer reflects the music that people want. It reflects the music that the industry wants you to have. So now we invent songs, we invent bands based on a target market. The same music labels invent the music, find the artist, do what they want with the music, get it to on the right station to the right people. They use all the best technology to know exactly who you are, what you like to listen to, you know, on and on and on and on. Now, I guess here's the point I'm trying to make in all this. Major record labels no longer sell music to the people, but sell CDs to the people. I mean, literally, little pieces of metal. That's what they're selling. The goal is no longer about the music, but about selling little pieces of metal called CDs. Which really means the record industry no longer serves the artists or the consumers, but serves itself. And here's where it's going. And this really isn't an opinion. It's kind of a done deal. Our culture is and will be more full of music than it's ever been in the history of the world. Raise your hand if you kind of agree with that and already feel it. I mean, you've got ringtones, you've got music everywhere. You know, walk into, you know, this church and the music's going to hit you as soon as you hit the lobby. A lot of churches, it hits you in the parking lot. I mean, we go to shopping malls now, the music is everywhere. Even kind of outdoor strip malls now, the music hits you as soon as you hit out of your car. Music is everywhere. And the music industry has very little to do with that and will increasingly lose influence over a culture that's awash in music. Why? Well, file sharing, for one. Free music. That's kind of a good deal. And the listener controls what content they get. An even better idea. No big, like, you know, what am I trying to say? No big wonder how file sharing exploded. Because here's the deal. The music industry depends on a large number of people who all like the same thing. And that no longer reflects who we are. Now, I'm going to take a bit of a risk here. I want you to stand up if you are wearing something that you know is unique to you. Either you made it, modified it, bought it at a boutique that you know sells very limited of that thing, or whatever. Okay, now just take just a minute, kind of think through. All right, and then go ahead and stand up. Okay, now you guys sit down. Now you see what I mean? One of the huge things happening in our culture is this outrageous diversity. We really can listen to and dress and not really drive yet, but I think that's coming. You know, something like no one else. It's just a reflection of who we are. And that's increasing, not decreasing. There's a group. And they're getting ready to come out with a new album. You'd know the name of it, but it's kind of an offensive name, so I don't want to say it. But Big Group from Canada, and they're kind of funny. And their new record's getting ready to come out, and it's getting ready to come out with all of the individual tracks in Pro Tools so that you, the consumer, can literally remix the songs just the way you want them. If you want more drums, more guitar, you know, less of this loop, more of that, you know, then you can have it exactly like you want it. Is that unbelievable? For some of you, it's so unbelievable, you're like, what in the heck is he even talking about? And you think, okay, well, like iTunes is a good example of what Lance is talking about, like how things have changed. You know, you can go online, 99 cents per song, you never really buy the CD or anything like that. No, I'm talking way beyond that because, see, there's still a lot of control involved in iTunes, right? They control what format it is. They control how many computers you can play it on, how you can burn it and share it. But now there's eMusic and lots of other sites like that that don't put those controls on, where you can go and you can download the songs you want for cheaper, and you can share them with your friends. And I'm not here talking about the right and wrong of all that stuff. I'm just saying where the industry is going. Even iTunes is already a little bit of a dinosaur. And I know if my wife was sitting here, you guys, she'd be so stressed out by now. She hates change, and just talking about this stuff makes her blood pressure start to go up. Like, I just figured out iTunes. Now you're telling me it's obsolete? Now, last little interesting piece that I dug up this week. In the music industry, there's a, I don't know, little known, well-known theory circulating called the CD theory. And that theory is that really the music industry died about 20 years ago. But at that same time, CD technology came out. So we all had to replace the stuff that we'd already bought. I would argue that the way we do church in America lost the ability to deliver Jesus to the people a long time ago. And we're using the same technologies, but just updating, renovating. We still mostly do congregation-based church, meaning get the most people possible to come to the most meetings. And those of us that do it the best do it with some variety. You know, like we know that we can't do it one way and meet the needs of an increasingly diverse group of people. So let's at least do contemporary and traditional and Gen X and postmodern, and we can come up with several different categories and get people to come to those meetings. Now, I've already given this big speech a lot of times, you guys, but like, it's not going to be, that's not the world our kids are going to grow up in. And it's not about how we do church, it's about getting Jesus to the people. And if the way we do church becomes a hindrance to our mission, then we got to rethink how we do church. Many times, you guys, and I'll say it again, we love the church. If you're new to Bridgeway, know that. You'll never hear anyone here running down any other church, any other pastor. We love the church all over the world in all its expressions, period. And we're not trying to get up and beat some bandwagon to get churches to change. We just have to follow the mission. And so wherever our heart takes us in that, if it's a different deal, then we want to do that and we want to keep blessing everybody else. And I'll say more about that in just a minute. But it's just not working. It's just not happening. The church in this country, in my opinion, has lost its voice. And we're not going to get it back by doing the same things over and over and over, but with a different song, a different speaker, a new study, a new building, new decorations, a new bulletin, a new website. I'll just give you a couple of these things. I've already given them to you so many times, and you already believe this. I mean, you already feel it in your heart without me even saying it. But only 1 in 10 Christians surveyed in this country believe the Bible contains any ultimate truth about Jesus didn't sin, Satan is real, grace is the only way to salvation, things like that. 3 times as many churches closing as are opening. Fastest growing religion in America since 9/11 is Islam. I know these are depressing things. I've given them to you a lot of time. Now, let me just tell you from my heart what I feel, what I don't have the statistics on. We aren't a part of the conversations that our culture is having anymore. No one knows what the church thinks about AIDS or about TB worldwide or about poverty or about the horrible racism that exists in this city. That we send a higher percentage of black women to prison than any other state in the union. That the health care needs of our children aren't met in this state. We are not a part of those conversations. And we're trying to reach a culture that increasingly feels zero social pressure to be involved in this church or any other church. Now, God has put a zeal in your hearts to see Jesus come to the people. I don't really know that we've counted the cost of what it is that we're saying, of the level of sacrifice and commitment that it really will take from us, but I do know this: unless the Holy Spirit stirs in our heart, then it's just trying to ratchet something up anyways. And he is doing that and will do that. He is the fire behind the mission. But I know this, there is an incredible amount of zeal to see Jesus come to the people and places that need him in this room. And I want to have another little jam session here. And I want you to listen to this little montage and tell me what these songs have in common. I'm sorry, my computer's still waking up. I don't even want to hear it from the Mac people.
Take me into your presence.
Ken, go ahead and turn off the light. Let people just kind of settle into this one. Okay, you can turn the lights on. Now, raise your hand if you know what all that stuff has in common. Yeah, a lot of you. Every one of those songs, you know, you might find one of the people who wrote and recorded them sitting here on a Sunday morning. They're all part of our family. And some of them were, you know, like recorded in big fancy studios and marketed and all that. Others were recorded on, you know, I don't know, maybe like home cassette recorders or something. But all of them are like a deep expression of someone's heart, you know. And really just a picture of, you know, imagine all of the people in this room that aren't musical, that don't express themselves and their heart in that way. But, I mean, that's just a taste, all that diversity. And my point is, God has put an incredible diversity of missional vision in this community. Now, I got to thinking, okay, nobody's really doing the country thing. And that would really be an expression of my heart. And I have a Mac at home, and it has GarageBand on it, and I've never played with that before, but now I have. And so I took the opportunity to write you a country and western song. That's an expression of my heart. And the only thing is, it turned into other things that I like, you know, and. And it's missing some stuff, but I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. It's called Country Song. Ah. Quiet ending. Now, here's the problem with that song. Thank you. Here's the problem with that song, it's just not finished, and it just needs people. Like, in these lyrics, it may need, like, a loving brother or sister to say, Lance, it's just not time right now for that song. But let me tell you what the song's about. It's a unique expression of my missional heart. I mean, it's about love for the church and seeing the church given back to the people. It's about different races, especially African Americans and especially African American women being released into the dignity and power and restoration and reconciliation that from that would flow a great revival in this country. It's about churches coming together and seeing cities transformed. See, those are just some of the things that are in my heart. But I need you guys to come alongside. Protect me, encourage me. Say, we're in it with you. Let's get a few of us and go do that piece. Keep me accountable. Balance my zeal with, let's keep pressing into Jesus and into character and into devotional life. And let's keep blessing people who do it different. And let's use tracks. And let's use kitchen tables. And let's use anything else we can to tell people about Jesus. And let's impact the poor. And let's impact the races. See, here's the deal. We got to do church in a way that gets Jesus to the people. And we got to get his kingdom to where it's needed most. And we have to do church in a way that releases people, that takes the control off of the process, and yet does it in a way where people have the safety and security and freedom that comes from real accountability. And we got to begin by taking our hands off the steering wheel. And I'm mostly talking to people like me, leaders. And yet, as we give up control, we got to increase accountability. Because see, everyone wants freedom, but not everyone wants the sacrifice, the accountability, the authority that's required to release it. Missional zeal gets people killed if it's not balanced with godly character and gathering people around you in community and fueled by intimacy with Jesus from a rich devotional life. But I know this, my kids will not grow up doing church like my parents or grandparents or great-grandparents. Everything's going to change in this generation. This is not an opinion. It's already happened. They'll do church primarily out there, outside of church buildings. And everything's going to be different. The way that leadership happens, the way discipleship happens, the kind of equipping that's done. Even the definition of what it really means to be a disciple of Jesus. Like everything's going to change. And you guys, it's a good thing. But you know what, man? It's not hard to just go and run off and do your own thing and say, this is what God's doing. What's challenging is to say, we're going to build a bridge and we're going to take as many people as want to go. And we're not sure even where the thing goes. We're not even sure how to build it. But we're throwing in together and we're going to keep Jesus and his kingdom in the center. And anything that becomes a barrier to that, we're going to knock out of the way for our kids and for anyone else. Our hearts are open to God. And next week when I start telling you how we're going to work it out, it's just a shot. It's just a place where we're starting. But everything is up to be renegotiated at any point that we realize something we're doing is hindering what's really in our heart to do. So, the vision is to really be the church, I guess is what I'm saying. Tune in next week to find out how we're trying to work that thing out. And by that time, the leaders will have all gone to Hinton, Oklahoma, together. Had some good biscuits and gravy, worship, refreshing. And I don't know that we'll have biscuits and gravy, so don't hold me to that. But something like that, probably, you know, And we're really going more than anything else to try to meet with God and say, Lord, what do you want for us for this year as a community? So would you pray for your house church pastors as they go this next weekend? And I want to say one more thing and play one more thing, and then we're going to be done for this morning. Freedom from fear. This morning in our before church prayer time, there was just such a sense of the Lord releasing freedom from fear. I mean, the kind of stuff that we're talking about, I know everyone agrees with the Jesus part, but all the stuff about like changing church and all, like I know that can feel really confusing and hard and exciting to some and weird to others. But I just want to proclaim freedom from fear. We don't have to figure it out. Our deal is just to say yes to Jesus. And I know in our culture there's a right way to do everything, like, and we're freaked out about that. We're scared to death that we're not eating right, we're not feeding our kids right, we're not going to the right schools, we're not driving the right car, you know, we're not using the right kind of alternative fuel. I mean, I know we're freaked out about everything because there's a right way to do everything, right? We don't have to freak out about how we do church because we know whose it is and whose we are, and we can rest in that. All right, you guys stand with me. Lights back off, Ken, for dramatic effect. No, the truth is, it just sometimes is a little easier to kind of dial in. And we're not going to have a formal ministry time today where you come up and pray for people and get prayed for. Go and enjoy each other on this Labor Day weekend. Certainly, you're welcome to hang around and pray for each other, get to know each other, all that stuff. Usually, we don't. The last person leaves here about 1:30, and that's a great thing. But as we close, I'm going to play you one more song. This one's going to be in its entirety, and it's just going to be kind of our reflection to end this day. I hope you'll come back next week and find the rest of the story. If you know this song, then sing it at the top of your lungs or just turn it into a prayer. But best I've ever heard it sung, here's, oh no, it went to sleep again. It makes for such an awkward transition. All right. All right. This is our prayer, Lord. We do love you, Lord Jesus. We love your church. We love your kingdom purposes. We want to be released in your power. Teach us, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.